to the Becoming Who You Are podcast, your guide to authentic living. Visit becomingwhoyouare.net for more resources, tools, and suggestions designed to help you create the life you want from the inside out. Now here's your host, Hannah.
Hello, and welcome to this July episode of the Becoming Who You Are podcast. My name is Hannah, and thank you so much for joining me today. In this episode, I'm sharing the power of negative visualization. Yes, you heard that right. If you've been around the personal growth world for any amount of time, you'll probably have heard about the importance of positive visualization, positive thinking, and so on. But today, I want to share a few ideas with you that turn this on its head. Negative visualization is something I've been practicing for a while now. Well, I've been practicing it for as long as I can remember, but I've been practicing in a helpful, non-doom and gloom way for a while, and it's been really helpful. So I hope it's useful for you to hear more about it too. As I mentioned in the last episode, if you would like more podcast episodes each month, you can get them by becoming a patron of Becoming Who You Are on Patreon. I'm in the process of rejigging and adding rewards at the moment, and from next month, that's from August, patrons will get additional bonus blog posts and podcasts each month that won't be available on the general Becoming Who You Are feed, podcast feed here, or on the website. So if you'd like more content, like what you're about to hear today, you can become a patron from as little as $1 a month. Depending on how much you choose to pledge, I'm also offering additional rewards like copies of all my books and audiobooks and access to all courses available through Becoming Who You Are. So that's 4 weeks of self-knowledge, Be Your Own Hero, and a series of 24 interviews I did for a virtual conference called The Entrepreneurs in a World, which is all about the psychological and emotional tools you need to run your own business. So I hope you'll check that out. Thank you so much to all current patrons. I really appreciate your support. It shows me that you enjoy this podcast and the content I produce for Becoming Who You Are, and it helps me keep creating. So thank you. If you'd like to join them and get all the rewards and bonus content I just mentioned, you can find out more and sign up at patreon.com/becomingwhoyouare. That's patreon.com/becomingwhoyouare. And you can also find the link to that in the show notes for this episode. So thanks so much for listening today. I hope you enjoy this episode, and I look forward to talking to you again very soon. The power of negative visualization. If you've been around the personal growth world for any amount of time, you'll have heard people extolling the virtues of positive visualization. From creating vision boards to imagining ourselves succeeding at our most significant goals and achieving all we want to achieve, positive visualization is often touted as the one-stop solution for getting what you want in life. While I don't count myself as part of the positivity police, I connect with the concept of rational optimism. I believe the world is getting better, despite what we see from social and traditional media, and I see the value in embracing the whole human experience. I don't base my optimism on anything spiritual or metaphysical. Instead, I base it on looking at history, how the human experience has evolved, and how lucky we are to be alive today. I feel grateful to live in a time where we have things like local anesthetic, antibiotics, the internet, easy travel, and all the comforts and privileges of modern life we often take for granted. Today, I want to talk about a thought exercise that has helped me feel genuine appreciation and gratitude for what I have. It's been especially helpful when I'm experiencing comparisonitis or worrying about trivial things. And it doesn't involve resorting to spiritual bypassing or blind positivity. It's much less promoted, but arguably far more powerful than its positive counterpart. Negative visualization. If this doesn't sound quite as fun as imagining your wildest dreams coming true, bear with me. In this episode, I will show you how and why this kind of visualization can be so rewarding. What is negative visualization? This idea comes from the Stoics and is simple. Not easy, but simple. When we engage in negative visualization, we imagine losing everything and everyone we have. We imagine experiencing loss we hope we will never encounter and our worst nightmares coming true. We spend time thinking about what it would be like to lose our family, our home, job, pets, car, and anything else that's important to us. No, this will not feel good, in the short term anyway. But there is a sense of reward and satisfaction that comes from doing this, which I'll explain shortly. For now, I invite you to think about what would be part of your negative visualization. What in your life do you fear losing the most? How does negative visualization help us? We are all susceptible to something psychologists and philosophers call hedonic adaptation. This describes our ability to return to a base level of happiness despite major events or changes in our lives, good and bad. While this can serve us in some situations, on a day-to-day level, it can lead to what's called the hedonic treadmill. As William B. Irvine writes in his book, A Guide to the Good Life, The Ancient Art of Stoic Joy, as a result of the adaptation process, people find themselves on a satisfaction treadmill. They're unhappy when they detect an unfulfilled desire within them. They work hard to fulfill this desire in the belief that on fulfilling it, they will gain satisfaction. The problem, though, is that once they fulfill a desire for something, they adapt to its presence in their life and as a result stop desiring it, or at any rate, don't find it as desirable as they once did. They end up just as dissatisfied as they were before fulfilling the desire. Negative visualization helps us counteract this adaptation process by reversing it. Imagining losing everything we already have helps us feel happier with our lives right now, rather than basing our happiness on goals, gains, and goods in the future. It helps us forestall when-then thinking that often leads us to deferring dreams, enjoyment, and a full experience of life. Examples of this include, when I lose X pounds, then I'll be able to wear that dress out. When I'm earning this amount of money, then I'll be able to relax. When I have this gadget, then I'll be happy. You can probably insert examples of this kind of thinking from your own experience here. Negative visualization allows us to appreciate everything that's good in our life now, with no need to change anything or be any different. When we imagine losing what we have and our worst case scenarios, we connect to how much the things we currently have mean to us. We appreciate it more than when we take it for granted or focus on how great things will be when. Negative visualization also primes us to be more resilient in the face of hardship. When we practice imagining what it would be like to lose the things we love the most, we are more prepared for the experience of losing them, which we might. After all, this is life, with its twists, turns, and unexpected bumps in the road. Making the most of these things while we still have them makes us less likely to regret squandered or misused time with them when we no longer do. How to practice negative visualization. In A Guide to the Good Life, Irvine gives the following explanation. The Stoics recommended that we spend time imagining that we have lost the things we value and that our wife has left us, our car was stolen, or we lost our job. Doing this, the Stoics thought, will make us value our wife, our car, and our job more than we otherwise would. This technique, let us refer to it as negative visualization, was employed by the Stoics at least as far back as Chrysippus. It is, I think, the single most valuable technique in the Stoics' psychological toolkit. Seneca describes the negative visualization technique in the consolation he wrote to Marcia, a woman who, 3 years after the death of her son, was as grief-stricken as on the day she buried him. In this consolation, besides telling Marcia how to overcome her current grief, Seneca offers advice on how she can avoid falling victim to such grief in the future. What she needs to do is anticipate the events that can cause her to grieve. In particular, he says, she should remember that all we have is, quote, on loan from fortune, which can reclaim it without our permission, indeed without even advance notice. Thus, quote, we should love all our dear ones, but always with the thought that we have no promise that we may keep them forever, nay, no promise even that we may keep them for long. To see how imagining the death of a child can make us appreciate her, consider two fathers. The first takes this advice to heart and periodically reflects on his child's mortality. The second refuses to entertain such gloomy thoughts. He instead assumes his child will outlive him and that she will always be around for him to enjoy. The first father will almost certainly be more attentive and loving than the second. When he sees his daughter first thing in the morning, he will be glad that she is still a part of his life, and during the day he will take full advantage of opportunities to interact with her. The second father, in contrast, will be unlikely to experience a rush of delight on encountering his child in the morning. Indeed, he might not even look up from the newspaper to acknowledge her presence in the room. So what about positive visualization? Positive visualization can be helpful, especially if we're working towards a specific goal, milestone, or endeavor, but it's not in the way that we usually think. Studies have shown that visualizing a positive outcome isn't actually helpful. It's visualizing ourselves working towards the positive outcome that makes a difference to our performance. Positive visualization is also more popular for the simple reason it's more comfortable. Telling someone that to feel better about their lives, all they need to do is imagine losing everything they care about, et voila, instant appreciation, isn't the most appealing sales pitch. But if we're willing to sit with the discomfort these visualizations evoke, it does work. So today I invite you to ask yourself, what's the worst that can happen? And answer the question, go to town and enjoy the renewed sense of appreciation for and joy in what you currently have. It actually feels good, right?
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Becoming Who You Are podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to iTunes and leave a review. You can get in touch with Hannah by emailing hannah@becomingwhoyouare.net. Don't forget to visit becomingwhoyouare.net and find out how you can use rational personal development to live an authentic life.